Ready for the next step in the incredible journey that is America. Kamala Harris, Vice President of the United States, the first woman of color put forward for the top job, formally accepted the nomination from Democrats overnight with a 45-minute address to her party's convention in Chicago. She said the election offered the U.S. an opportunity to move beyond the division and cynicism of the past.
On behalf of everyone whose story could only be written in the greatest nation on earth, I accept your nomination to be President of the United States of America. And with this election, our nation with this election has a precious, fleeting opportunity to move past the bitterness, cynicism, and divisive battles of the past, a chance to chart a new way forward. Not as members of any one party or faction, but as Americans.
The Vice President also had a positive message about the economy.
The middle class is where I come from. My mother kept a strict budget. We lived within our means, yet we wanted for little. And she expected us to make the most of the opportunities that were available to us and to be grateful for them. Because, as she taught us, opportunity is not available to everyone. That's why we will create what I call an opportunity economy where everyone has the chance to compete and a chance to succeed. Whether you live in a rural area, small town, or big city.
On the Israel-Gaza conflict, Kamala Harris made clear she would always support Israel's right to defend itself, but she said now is the time for a hostage deal and a ceasefire.
And let me be clear, I will always stand up for Israel's right to defend itself, and I will always ensure Israel has the ability to defend itself, because the people of Israel must never again face the horror that a terrorist organization called Hamas caused on October 7. At the same time, what has happened in Gaza over the past 10 months is devastating. So many innocent lives lost. Desperate, hungry people fleeing for safety over and over again. The scale of suffering is heartbreaking. President Biden and I are working to end this war such that Israel is secure, the hostages are released, the suffering in Gaza ends, and the Palestinian people can realize their right to dignity, security, freedom, and self-determination.
Let's cross live to Chicago and our correspondent, Sean Whelan. Well, Sean, did she deliver?
Yes, she did deliver, Gavin. I mean, the first thing you have to do in any big set piece speech like this, that you've been built up and you are the star of the night, is not to foul up in any kind of way. And she didn't foul up in any way. So she delivered on that baseline thing. Then she built on the things that you'd expect her to build on, going through her background and biography, the foundations of her political outlook, how she was shaped as an individual, and how her core beliefs inform her views on policy, whether that be economic policy. And you play that clip there, talking about the influence of her mother, sounding almost a bit like Angela Merkel and her old talks about the Schwabian Hausfrau and that being the foundations of her economic outlook. Not very sensible in terms of economic management, really. But who wants to get into the weeds of economic management on a night like this? Again, she's been criticized for being a bit policy light on the economic front in this speech tonight, but she's probably better off waiting and dealing with that in a separate speech and going in depth on it and building on some of the things that she was saying last week, for example. No point in boring the nation when you've got them all G'd up on a more emotional path tonight. But where I thought she really did start to score was on the foreign policy front. I thought it was quite strong stuff. It was also quite new stuff, somewhat revelatory, really, that she would come out and put forward such a strong posture, saying the things that you might expect her to say about support for NATO, support for Ukraine, support for Israel, but doing it in a very strong way. And in particular, talking about ensuring that as Commander-in-Chief, I will always ensure that America has the strongest and most lethal military in the world. Not the kind of thing you might expect from the warm, soft, fuzzy glow that had been built around the Democratic National Convention. But certainly she wanted to take this opportunity to establish herself as a tough individual, no pushover, in the way that Donald Trump has been presenting her.
On foreign policy, though, will she have satisfied or even answered the people who demonstrated outside and weren't let in?
Well, she's certainly addressed them. There's no doubt about that. And again, her remarks on Gaza, while she was basing them in what she and Joe Biden have been doing together to try and bring about a ceasefire agreement in the Middle East, get the hostages out and get aid into the people of Gaza, she went further and addressed the concerns that many, many people have about the situation there. And again, I think the difference between herself and Joe Biden is not so much what they say, but how they say it, the style of presentation, the force of the presentation, the emotion of the presentation. She was cheered heartily by the crowd when she said she will always stand up for Israel's right to defend itself and make sure that Israel gets whatever it needs to be able to defend itself against organizations like Hamas. But she was also cheered and cheered a lot more when she described what has been happening in Gaza as devastating and heartbreaking, etc. And importantly, saying she wants to ensure that the Palestinian people get their rights to dignity, freedom, and that those key words, self-determination. So she was addressing both sides of it and not running away from it, not shying away from it.
45-minute speech, vague calls for unity, calling for a new path forward, policies and generalities, very little detail. Over the last 4 weeks or so, culminating in last night, do Americans know who she is now?
They're knowing a bit more who she is, yeah. And, you know, what they're seeing is broad brushstrokes, obviously. It's the contrast, again, between herself and Joe Biden, and also between herself and Donald Trump. The one thing she didn't play on in any of this was really being a woman or being a woman of colour. She just went out and said, I'm a politician. This is what I believe in. And these are the things I want to concentrate in. And also, this is my experience. She lent into the idea that she has been deeply involved in things like security policy, like the negotiations on Israel, the negotiations on trying to get hostages released from Russia, dealing with Ukraine, saying I brought personal messages, information to President Zelensky 5 days before the invasion, warning about what was going to happen. So putting herself very much at the center of events over the past couple of years, but also emphasizing a personal style and a personal substance on a range of issues. But again, not getting too in-depth in anything, but this not really the forum for getting in-depth. The people who want to get in-depth on issues, the political nerds, they will get those speeches in the weeks ahead. Like I say, there will be specific packages put forward on immigration, which is a really important issue, really important. And it was the very first thing that Donald Trump attacked her on. He went on Fox News, dialed into it within minutes of her finishing that speech. And immigration was the first thing that he went to there. The economy was the second thing that he attacked her on, saying she's a Marxist who plans to raise corporation taxes, which he said would drive corporations away and they would move to other countries. And here's the important one. He said, just like the pharmaceutical industry did when they moved to Ireland. And he said, I'm not so much concerned about the companies, but I want the jobs. I want those jobs back in America. So being name-checked in a Donald Trump denunciation of companies moving abroad, not something that will cheer up the policymakers and industrial people back in Ireland.
She has a debate in a fortnight. Is she going to do an interview or even a news conference between now and then?
We'll see. She said she wanted to do an interview by the end of the month. The end of the month is nigh, so not much time left for her to do interviews. I wouldn't be surprised if she's lined up a couple of interviews for the weekend, for the talk shows that are a pretty big deal in political America that go out on Sunday morning, possibly a newspaper interview. I haven't heard of anything definitive yet, but it wouldn't surprise me. This seems like a good weekend to do it. And it is the very last possible opportunity if she's going to do any interviews in August. But yeah, inevitably she has to. But really, how many people is she going to touch with those interviews? I suspect not that many, and certainly not that many of the people who haven't made up their minds yet. But it is one more stick that Donald Trump is using to beat her with. So I suppose she's going to have to get it out of the way sooner or later.
Sean Whelan in Chicago, thank you.